And the other presentation from an accent that Dan actually did right at the same time you were doing your talk was looking at when people recur in terms of the fact that it, I mean, I know this has been seen before, but it was very dramatic in what he presented, that most of the recurrences were recurring at 2 to 3 years.
Yes, that the recurrence rates are maximal and they tail off. Very different than breast cancer, yeah. Of course, so that it's further evidence that looking at an earlier time point, say 3-year disease-free survival, makes biological sense based upon the pattern, the time course of recurrence.
Although I think in breast cancer, we've really tuned in on the ER-positive tumors as having this more delayed relapse. Hmm. And if there are tumors biologically like that with colon cancer that are not that common, you might not be seeing them. I mean, recurrences do occur, but I guess it's just pretty uncommon after 3 years.
Actually, it becomes much less common. I was going to say, interesting that there's a difference in the time course between ER-positive right. and negative breast cancer patients. The stage 2 patients tend to recur a little later than the stage 3 patients with colon cancer
as well. It's more like
ER-positive. It's somewhat analogous. But the number of recurrences, say, after 5 years is very, very small
in
colon cancer.
Anything else you want to add to what we said today, particularly as it relates to the deliberations of this group?
I guess the overall assessment of this group, as we look at the priorities in the various areas, we didn't talk about all of them, but as we consider all the priorities in colorectal cancer, it was our conclusion, the group's conclusion, that the most important issues are really being addressed by the current cooperative group clinical trial portfolio. And, of course, this was in deliberations from 2005 and 2006. And so the message really for the practicing clinicians in the country is to provide as much support of these trials to answer these questions, to put us in position to take on new opportunities as they come along. And the Coalition of Cancer Cooperative Groups has now initiated a similar process in lung cancer, breast cancer, and I understand are going to be doing a similar exercise in prostate cancer as well.
I think it's awesome. I guess my concern is, you know, it's interesting. You think about it, we've talked for more than an hour now, mm-hmm. and we didn't even cover half the things that you guys had in this paper, which is a statement in and of itself about where we are with colorectal cancer research, I think, today, instead of just 5-FU-A versus B.
It's really changed a lot.
But what concerns me is there's so many things in here that I don't see that are being pursued quickly. You look at the number of research questions you all bring up here, mm-hmm. and even though maybe to some extent they're being addressed, but I mean, are we really going to fully explore these things quickly? Mm-hmm. And my concern is that I'm not sure that's going to happen, just from a practical point of view.
It's a major issue. It requires commitment on the part of physicians and patients to this clinical trials process. It requires funding.
Yeah.
And that's one of the major constraints that the cooperative groups are under now.
Yep.
In that the funding is not matching scientific opportunities that are before us.